Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, almost €80,000 worth of cannabis has been seized from a property in Bombay today. The chair of the Friends of Lifford Hospital claims the hospital is being abandoned in favour of progressing the St Joseph's Community Hospital project. It's emerged that Donegal has been without a disability access officer for the past 6 months, and police investigating the deaths of three teenagers at the Greenvale Hotel in Cookstown in County Tyrone on Sunday have arrested a man on suspicion of drug possession. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, a substantial amount of suspected cannabis has been seized today in West Donegal. €76,000 worth of the drug was seized at a house in the Derrybeg area by Gardaí from Bombay. It was part of a joint operation with the Garda National Drugs and Organised Crime Bureau and Customs. The President of the European Council says he is prepared to allow an extension to Brexit, provided the House of Commons votes to endorse the withdrawal agreement. Donald Tusk spoke with the British Prime Minister this afternoon and told her the request to delay Brexit can be accepted if Parliament votes for the deal next week. In a short statement, he said even though the Brexit fatigue is clearly visible, the EU can't give up on reaching a positive solution until the last minute. He said his recommendation to EU leaders will be to accept an extension until June the 30th.
Just now I had a phone call with Prime Minister May about these proposals. In the light of the consultations that I have conducted over the past days, I believe that a short extension will be possible, but it will be conditional on a positive vote on the withdrawal agreement in the House of Commons. The question remains open as to the duration of such an extension.
The Taoiseach says it's time to cut the British government some slack on their request for a delay to Brexit. However, Leo Varadkar says Theresa May will need to outline a clear plan for getting the deal through the UK Parliament when EU leaders meet tomorrow. He also says a package of measures have been agreed by Cabinet to protect farmers and the agri-food sector in the case of a no-deal outcome. Meanwhile, serious concern has been raised over how prepared the North's Department of Health is to deal with the challenges of Brexit. The Royal College of Radiologists is warning that Brexit is likely to cause a delay to some cancer tests and treatments, while the British Medical Association is warning a no-deal Brexit will have catastrophic consequences for patients. Following a meeting with the department's permanent secretary at Stormont, Sinn Féin's health spokesperson in Derry, Councillor Sandra Duffy, says one of the most worrying elements is that when the department applied for funding to help it become Brexit ready, it was not granted the full amount.
The Department of Health has put in a bid for £450,000 but has actually only got £250,000 towards becoming Brexit ready, which is £200,000 short of what the department is saying that it needs. He has made an assessment right across the health service in the north here in terms of what he would need to ensure that there is a smooth transition with Brexit, if one is possible, in terms of making sure that there is staff available, there is a readiness there in case there is a no-deal Brexit, even in the case of a deal Brexit, in terms of getting things in place. And he is saying without that finance in place now, he is going to struggle to ensure that there is continuity across the health service.
The other commitments being given are in the realms of cross-border health cooperation. A lot happening, not least, obviously, at Elton McGovern with the Shared Northwest Radiotherapy Centre. What assurances was the Permanent Secretary able to offer in that respect?
We have heard the Permanent Secretary state that cross-border services would continue, particularly around Elton McGovern and the cancer services there. That is something that was hard fought for and hard won, and we wanted to see that continue. But in reality, nobody knows what the outcome of Brexit is going to be and how that is going to impact on services until Theresa May and her cabinet make a decision on what is happening with Brexit. And I know she's gone back to Europe today with a proposal around an extension, but at this stage we're still unsure of what the outcome of that is going to be. So we're living in very uncertain times around Brexit, and particularly around how the outworkings of that is going to be in terms of the health service, particularly around here.
It's emerged that Donegal has been without a disability access officer for the past 6 months. This has led to calls on Donegal County Council by Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle to appoint a temporary officer. Deputy Pringle claims the council hasn't been responding to his queries on the matter and has been told that the local authority is in the process of reviewing the assignment in this area of work and that it will be finalised in the coming weeks. He says this is a matter of urgency.
The council has been very slow in taking action to appoint somebody to act in that role, and that's very disappointing. And I think what's even more disappointing is the fact that it's very difficult to get a response from the council in relation to the situation as well. The disability access officer is the important role within the council, and it's important in terms of showing that people with disabilities are a vital part of the community, and we have to make sure that services are made available to them. And if we don't employ a replacement or somebody to act in that role, it'll lessen the impact that they could have.
Presumably one of the jobs of the disability access officer would be to advise and comment on plans before the council, and in the case of a major plan coming through the council that might have an impact, if that service isn't there, something could be lost.
That's right, and that's the problem. And you know, and at this day and age, if we can't have that situation. You know, disability access is vitally important, and all our buildings and new buildings should be accessible to everybody regardless of their need, and we should be ensuring that we make that the case without any preconditions and any problems. And the fact that the council hasn't got an access officer to act in that role for so many months is a real problem, and I think the council needs to act now to make sure that this role can be filled on a temporary basis initially, to make sure that this work continues.
Police investigating the deaths of three teenagers at the Greenvale Hotel in Cookstown, County Tyrone on Sunday have arrested a man on suspicion of drug possession. The PSNI conducted a search at a house in Moneymore yesterday and seized a quantity of suspected Class A drugs. A 52-year-old man who was arrested on suspicion of manslaughter has been further arrested on suspicion of possession of Class A drug with intent to supply. Another man remains in custody on suspicion of manslaughter. The Save Our St Joseph's Hospital Action Committee is urging everyone in the hospital's catchment area to attend a public meeting on Saturday afternoon to discuss the future of the campaign. Chairperson Father John Joe Duffy says the fact remains that while many ministers and TDs have made positive noises about the future of the facility, there are no concrete commitments, and the only published plan on the record remains the original document presented by the then Minister Kathleen Lynch in January 2016. That plan envisaged residential beds at St Joseph's being replaced by a new facility in Letterkenny. Father John Joe Duffy believes the force of community support is the only thing keeping the hospital open.
We are meeting at St Joseph's Hospital Car Park at 1:30 p.m. and we're marching from there to Jackson's Hotel for a public meeting at 2:30 p.m. and I am confident that we can save the beds in St Joseph's Hospital by sending a very strong message to the politicians and getting them to waken up and to up on their game. There, nothing frightens them more than shoe leather on the street, so it is very important, because I'll tell you, it only takes us to slip once and the hospital is gone and gone forever.
Meanwhile, the chair of the Friends of Lifford Hospital claims the hospital is being abandoned in favour of progressing the St Joseph's Community Hospital project. Lifford, Remelton and Stranorlar Community Hospitals had originally campaigned under the banner of Save Our Services. However, Saturday's protest is being organised by the Save Our St Joseph's Hospital Action Committee. Speaking on the 9 till noon show today, John Quinn said he believes a united approach is vital.
When we're fighting for a campaign for the community hospitals, it's all community hospitals. But at the moment, it seems that Lifford seems to be a millstone around people's necks. They want to get rid of Lifford so they can get the St. Joseph's over the line. But that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Because we're going to make sure that whenever we're campaigning for Lifford, we're campaigning for all community hospitals, especially St. Joseph's and Remelton. But it's not coming the other way towards us. It's not coming back to us.
Again, you know. I don't want to stir, John. But are you talking? Do you feel? Is it the St Joseph's group that you feel is trying to push Lifford out of the spotlight?
Yes, and Lifford feel that. We feel that's what's going on. This is a ploy or a move to try and separate the hospitals so that whatever funding is going to be there will be all there for just St Joseph's, and that's wrong. Now, that's my personal view, and also the view of some of our committees, that we feel like we are being isolated. We've been left high and dry. And people need to realise that we need to stick together. We did stick together. We had what they call a three-prong approach up until recently, called the SOS Save Our Services. Now it's Save Our St. Joseph's.
Okay, but I didn't realise that.
It was Save Our Services, we're Milton, St. Joseph's and Lifford. For some reason, some individuals in St. Joseph's weren't happy with that. So they pulled away and left Lifford on their own.
The government has approved plans to establish an Irish gambling regulatory authority. It's hoped the new body will ensure betting is safe and fair for those who wish to gamble. The authority will look to develop and enforce necessary licensing and regulatory measures around all gambling activities. The Minister of State with special responsibility for gambling regulation, David Stanton, outlines what powers the new regulator will have.
The regulator will have the resources and the legal authority to investigate, to be proactive. It will have to develop licensing conditions also that will be fair, clear, legitimate and transparent to everybody. And strict licensing conditions will be developed by the authority as well. It will also have to regulate advertising, sponsorship, promotion of gambling products. And that's a very difficult one to do because a lot of this is online and a lot of it is beamed in from abroad.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with the latest arrivals of men's, women's and kids' clothing from leading sports labels like Nike, Adidas and Under Armour.
It's 12 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Makila. Cairn Donagh Community School have been crowned FAA Schools Dr. Tony O'Neill National Senior Cup winners for a third time in 4 years. The holders retained the title with a 1-0 win over Middleton CBS of Cork in today's final, played at Home Farm in Whitehall in Dublin. The score that won the match was a Jack Doherty header in the 82nd minute from a Mikey Freel cross. The Cairn boys dedicated the win to their former teacher, Liam Monagle, who died last September. Martin Kavanagh is the Cairn Donagh manager.
Listen, again, it's a great achievement for the boys. And as you say, it's just the third time in 4 years, so we're very happy. It was a very tight match. Middleton's big, strong, physical side. And again, I suppose we had to match them today and try to play a wee bit of football. And it took, I think it was maybe the 80th minute before we got the goal, so it took a long time, you know, and there wasn't really much in the game.
And you sort of knew from early on it was going to be that sort of type of game, it was going to be a tight game, and it's one of those matches that just one goal was going to separate you.
Yeah, it was quite deceiving, actually, in the sense that when you looked at the pitch and stuff, and it looked a lot better than it actually was. When you were on the pitch, it was very wobbly and things like, you know, and our guys would, their preferred method of play would be get the thing down and pass and play and move. And it was actually quite hard to do that today because the ball was sort of bubbling all over the place. So, again, but sometimes that's, yeah, just have to play with the conditions. And thankfully, we battled and we worked and we got the goal then in the end. But, yeah, well, it was a goal was going to win the game, you know.
And you can hear more from Martin Kavanagh, manager of the Cairn Donagh Community School, in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. What a performance by them today, defending their title and the school winning that National Senior Cup for the third time in 4 years. Matt Doherty is ready to line out on the wing for Ireland. The Wolverhampton Wanderers defender could be deployed in midfield for the upcoming Euro 2020 qualifiers against Gibraltar and Georgia. Manager Mick McCarthy had suggested he could fill in for the injured Callum O'Dowda. Would also allow the informed Dubliner to play alongside captain Seamus Coleman. Doherty says he's happy to adapt.
Yeah, obviously it's going to be a bit differently how we play compared to club football. But I mean, I'm just going to, if I play, I'm going to have to adapt to how the manager wants me to play. I mean, if he wants me to play a certain way, I should be able to be good enough to change my game to suit the team. But I have to play for us, so we'll have to see.
There was other Republic of Ireland teams in action today. The under-19s had the ideal start to the European Championship Elite Round qualification campaign as they beat Roma 5-0 in the first game at the Money Tournament in Russia. Former Hearts player Tom Mohan is, of course, the manager. Donegal's Mickey McGlynn is the physio with the Irish team. And Inishowen girl Erin McLaughlin will be involved with the Republic of Ireland women's under-17s later as they begin the elite phase of their Euro qualifying campaign against Norway in Edinburgh. That one's due to kick off at 5:30. Sunderland striker Will Grigg has been ruled out of Northern Ireland's Euro 2020 qualifiers against Estonia and Belarus with an injury. The former Wigan Athletic forward has returned home and will not feature in the matches at Windsor Park on Thursday and on Sunday. Corey Evans, again, did not train with the squad at the National Stadium due to a hamstring injury. In rugby, the Six Nations have released the fixtures for 2020 and 2021 tournaments. Ireland will kick off their first championship campaign under Andy Farrell with back-to-back home games. They will host Scotland and Wales. Before a trip to face England and Twickenham, the Irish team will return to the Aviva Stadium to play Italy before a final weekend showdown with France in Paris. The 2021 campaign will start in Cardiff. France will visit Dublin in round two and England on the last day. Letterkenny's Joe Dunleavy is in America this week for the Carra Cup. Joe is one of nine Ulster Academy players who are part of the Ulster A team, which will battle the Connacht Eagles and the New England Free Jacks in Massachusetts. They will play Connacht this evening and New England on Sunday. In snooker, Mark Allen has made a bright start to his Tour Championship quarterfinal in Wales. The world number five leads Kyron Wilson by 6-2. The first to nine will progress to the semi-finals. Ronnie O'Sullivan is also 6-2 up against Stuart Bingham in his last eight encounter. Neil Robertson and Judd Trump are already through to the semi-finals. A result in from the Corn Column Kill competition, which involves St Eunan's College of Letterkenny. They won comfortably today, 4-15-1-2 against St Louis of Ballymena. There was good performances there from Luca Barrett, Oisin McGrenra, Ricky Guntrup and Owen Doherty. Finally, the organisers of the Donegal Atlantic Way Ultra 555 have confirmed entries are now closed for the 2019 staging of the event. The entry has hit the maximum, but a reserve list is being operated. Expressions of interest can be made to info@DonegalUltra555.ie. The fourth staging of the Ultra will take place Friday, June 14th to Saturday, June 16th. And that is it from the sports desk for today. We'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news. Tom will have the GA programme later on this evening. Usual throne times at 8:30. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, Sinn Féin says the British government will not attempt to restore power sharing in Northern Ireland until after local elections in May. The executive hasn't sat since January 2017. The party's vice president, Michelle O'Neill, says Secretary of State Karen Bradley plans to delay fresh assembly elections by five more months. Burton Port has been starved of investment for a quarter of a century and cannot wait any longer for development. That was the stark warning delivered to a recent meeting of the Glendies Municipal District by Councillor Mary Therese Gallagher, who told members that the village is crying out for investment. A project for Burton Port is in the pipeline, but no funding has yet been identified. Councillor Gallagher says that must change without delay.
Burton Port has needed public investment for 25 years. Burton Port has got no public investment for the last 25 years. We do have a plan. It's going to planning permission. It is moving on. But the issue that I have is that there is no fund actually identified. We have, Donegal County Council have put it forward for the Rural Regeneration Fund, and it hasn't been successful. And of all towns and villages, probably anywhere in this country that needs investment, it is Burton Port, and it hasn't got it. So what we need to be doing is we need to be having high level meetings to ensure that Burton Port does get its fair share, but also so as that, you know, we can get planning permission, but it doesn't sit on a shelf and, you know, 10 years time there's somebody else having this conversation with you.
And indeed Burton Port could be thriving with tourists in the summer, particularly this time of year coming in now.
Well, to be fair, Burton Port has a lot of tourists because Arranmore is attracting tourism. Arranmore needs regeneration as well, but Arranmore needs Burton Port to develop as much as Burton Port needs Burton Port to develop, if that makes sense. So we have a gem, we have what should be a tourism hub that is blocked. It's clogged up because we have never put public investment into it. You know, you can talk to the people in Burton Port yourself, but I'm sure they all feel the same way.
Concern has been raised over the high speed some motorists are travelling through private estates while children are at play. Several instances have been highlighted, particularly in the Letterkenny area. However, Donegal County Council say that they are limited to what they can do because they are not council-owned estates. It has led to the suggestion that affected residents should erect speed limit signage themselves, but these would not be legally binding. Councillor Jerry McMonagall says all children deserve the same level of protection, regardless of where they live.
I've been contacted on a number of occasions from people who live in estates that have not been taken into charge yet, asking can they also be considered for these 30 kilometre speed limit signs. But we'd have no legal standing to do that. We can only apply the 30 kilometre speed limit to estates that have been taken in charge, and I find that unfair. Inequality is ripe here because why should the children in an estate that hasn't been taken over have less rights than those in a state that has been taken over?
They have suggested that various residents, associations in and around the town should fundraise and erect these signs themselves, but should really, in your opinion, should they really be footing that bill?
No, they shouldn't be. I asked the council to look again at the legislation and the bylaws and see if there's a way we can get around this. And I've encouraged residents maybe that they should get together, and if the state supports it, that they should erect the signs themselves, but that they bear in mind that they have no legal standing to ensure that these signs are adhered to. I would rather that the council would be involved in this and that they would take charge of this type of stuff, that they would look at the bylaws again, look at ways and means that we can put up these signs, have all children treated equally, have them all have access to being able to play in a realm of safety within their estates, and to ensure that cars and vans entering the estates are all have to adhere to 30 kilometres per hour. If that doesn't happen, then maybe residents should get together and put up the signs, and hopefully it would act as a deterrent to those people driving into or visiting their estates to drive at a speed that is safe for all the inhabitants of that estate.
And a former mayor of Derry is welcoming the announcement this week of planned improvements to the Cobb roundabout, which is linked to a proposed major housing development at Ballyoan. The planning application for the 800-home development is to be discussed by Derry City and Strabane District Council's Planning Committee on Monday. Councillor Martin Riley says as well as the benefits to those seeking housing, the associated improvements to the Cobb roundabout and surrounding roads is particularly important. He says the overall development is hugely significant.
It's for just under 800 homes, which is one of the largest private investments in housing that our city has ever seen. It's a £100 million development spread over 10 years, and that will bring a huge amount of construction work to the northwest. But crucially for the people who live along the Limit Valley Road and this part of the waterside, the big improvement that they'll see is a better call roundabout than what we have currently, because we all know that roundabout is the scene of far, far too many accidents.
It's a roundabout which obviously serves a huge residential area, and that residential area is said to be, as you've said, substantially bigger after this development. But it also would serve a lot of traffic from Donegal, particularly traffic travelling across the Foyle Bridge and over toward the airport. So it's busy as a through route as well as bigger residential area.
That's exactly right. The road network in this location is already in need of improvement without these houses being added on. Thankfully, the developer of the new housing, the road service, the local council planning service have all worked together closely over the period of time that this application has been submitted to ensure that during the process of the construction of the new homes, there will be the improvements required for Cobb roundabout. So we will see the same sort of traffic measures that are in place at the Culmore end of the Foyle Bridge put in place at the Cobb roundabout end of the Foyle Bridge. Unfortunately, there is people travelling on the roundabout at speed. Thankfully, this new application will see all of those issues resolved when the new housing gets constructed.
For weather now, it will be mainly dry and cloudy this evening with just a few isolated showers. It will be cloudy tonight also and misty with patches of fog and lowest temperatures of 8 to 10 degrees in a light to moderate southwesterly breeze. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, a substantial amount of suspected cannabis has been seized today in West Donegal. €76,000 worth of the drug was seized at a house in the Derry Beg area by Gardaí from Bombeg. The chair of the Friends of Lifford Hospital claims the hospital is being abandoned in favour of progressing the St Joseph's Community Hospital project. Lifford, Remelton and Stranorder Community Hospitals had originally campaigned under the banner of Save Our Services. However, a protest on Saturday is being organised by the Save Our St Joseph's Hospital Action Committee. A 52-year-old man arrested on suspicion of manslaughter following the deaths of three teenagers in County Tyrone has been further arrested on suspicion of possession of drugs with intent to supply. And it's emerged that Donegal has been without a disability access officer for the past 6 months. This has led to calls on Donegal County Council by Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle to appoint a temporary officer. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of Remain Evening News on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The the obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, March the 20th. The death has taken place of John McNally, 61, at Carrick Strand, Strabane, and formerly of Letterkenny. Remains are reposing at his son Eddie McDade's home, 10 Lansdowne Park, Strabane, tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock. Funeral leaving his home on Friday afternoon at 12:45 for cremation in Lakelands Crematorium at 2:45. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to WHSCT, Ward 42, Kev Quigley, Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Breda Neelan, Ney McGlynn, Millbrook Lawns, Dublin 24, formerly of Mena Goland, Fintown, County Donegal. Her remains will repose at her home in Dublin tomorrow evening from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Removal on Friday afternoon to St Dominic's Church, Talla, arriving for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass and thereafter to Mount Jerome Crematorium. Family flowers only, please, donations if desired to Our Lady's Hospice and Care Services, Harold's Cross, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Jack Foley, 18 Hillhead, Castle Finn, and formerly of Tober, Ballindrate. His remains are reposing at his son Barry's home at Hillhead Road, Castle Finn. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Castle Finn at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Cancer Research, Kev Quigley, Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Charlie Doherty, Charlie Harley Wacky, Ballindrate, Bumbeg. His remains are reposing at his niece, Deirdre and Michael Gallagher's home, Fannaboy, Gortahork. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. House private from 11 p.m. until 10 a.m, rosary nightly at 9 o'clock. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. And the death has taken place of Desi Larkin, Dune, Glebe, New Mills, Letterkenny. Desi's remains will repose at his late residence until rosary tonight at 9 o'clock and again tomorrow until rosary at 9 o'clock. Funeral from there on Friday, going to St Junan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, followed by interment afterwards in Cornwall Cemetery. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Family flowers only, donations if wished to Pieta House, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director.